Good morning, Nashville.
Hey, everybody.
And whomever.
Nashville and beyond.
Yes, whoever else is listening to us in other parts of the country. We hope your morning is getting off to a good start. We're here to help you with your uprising this morning.
Yes, we are.
I'm so glad it is now February.
Already.
I cannot wait for winter to be over.
Yeah, you got those winter blues.
I've had the winter blues. I've had the winter blues for a while, and I'm tired of the yo-yoing of the weather. It's like, I don't know what to wear. I don't know what kind of coat to put on.
You just got to be ready. Just keep a coat in your car at all times.
Physician, heal thyself, because I'm thinking of you the other night running around with no coat.
Yeah, I tend to do that. Because I'm always like going somewhere where there's going to be heat inside, like a restaurant or something.
What you just said, keep a coat.
Just keep it on hand.
Keep something in your car.
So it's a good day.
It is.
It's Sunday.
Oh, and it's a special Sunday. What's happening?
For several reasons.
For many reasons.
We'll state the obvious.
Yes.
The Eagles are in the Super Bowl.
Yes.
And
you care
win.
More about that than I do, but I care about it for you. I really do.
And I should care way more. I mean, so I'm from Eastern Pennsylvania. My family are all Eagles fans. I grew up rooting for the Eagles, and I'm not a huge football fan, but it's pretty awesome that we have a shot at it because we were researching, because we don't really know sports facts or trivia.
Yes.
We did a little Googling before the show.
Yeah.
The last time they were in the Super Bowl was 2005?
Yes.
Is that right?
The end of the 2004 season, so yes.
Which was also against the Patriots.
Uh-huh. So it's rematch.
It's rematch time. So
we discovered that this will be their third appearance, and they have not won a Super Bowl. The first one was Super Bowl 15. I can't really remember what the year was, but they played the Raiders. They lost to the Oakland Raiders. So we are rooting for them. In fact, this Sunday in worship, we did some Bible study on the text from the lectionary, which the lectionary divides scripture into different categories over 3-year cycles. And so it's a good way to get a balanced diet of scripture. And so the scripture that, of course, this is pre-planned, you know, this way ahead of time, and the people that select the lectionary. And I think it just gives evidence to the fact that God is an Eagles fan.
Uh-huh.
Because it's the Isaiah 40 text that mentions that those who wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength, and they shall mount up on wings like eagles.
So there you go.
Yeah, so, and I think, well, no, I know.
That God's chosen.
The choir is singing something this morning on soaring like eagles. And I believe I'm going to have a clip in the message that may feature an eagle or two.
I hope there's like crazy shirtless fans that are holding up signs with that scripture written on it. Like at the game, not at church. You thought I meant at church.
Yes. I'm like, among Presbyterians, David, have you lost your mind? I was like, there's not that much team spirit in all the Presbyterians combined.
Or just sheer boldness.
Exactly.
Reckless.
I'm like, Calvin is rolling in his grave right now.
Oh my gosh, that's funny. Mm-hmm.
That is funny. That's really what I thought you meant. I was like, wow. You never know, though. You never know.
You never know.
People may listen to this and then think, we're going to show them.
I'd welcome it.
Uh-huh. Yeah, come see us at 10:30. We had an idea for this show, and you might experience some of this theme actually at the Super Bowl. But I've got another kind of audio clue. See if you can guess what we're going to talk about.
All right.
So, I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
Wow. He seemed perturbed.
He did, didn't he? He he was not holding anything back. No, that was from the film, 1976 film Network, that actually won a slew of Academy Awards. And that gentleman was Peter Finch, who won Best Actor for portraying a believe, network newsman who had a little bit of a breakdown on the news. And
it's a very inspiring speech, actually.
It is an incredible speech, and he actually, in the larger clip, was told people to go open their windows and stick their heads out and proclaim their anger, and they sure enough did. It was sort of got America to vent a bit.
When I watched that for the first time, I swear, like, I considered going to my window and sticking my head out.
Wondering if some folks will come and see us at church and proclaim that today.
So, yeah.
So yes, that is about anger, and that's what we're going to be talking about today, is anger.
We both, interestingly, like, had this idea to talk about anger. Because we think of themes every week of things that are on our hearts or going on in the world. What should we talk about? And we both thought of anger.
I know. And so I said that, I said, well, then that's what we should talk about. So I do wonder why that was on our heart. So
we're not angry.
Something making you angry?
We're not angry people, are we, Christy?
There are moments.
Yeah. I definitely have my moments.
Mm-hmm. So what makes you angry, David?
What makes me angry?
Lay back on our couch here in Hippie Radio and tell me your story. What
therapist
makes you angry?
There's a couple things. The go-to for me is always traffic. Bad traffic. And, you know, who doesn't get angry at being stuck in traffic? It's kind of normal, and it's getting worse, I guess, in Nashville all the time, so we just we gotta just get over it, I guess.
Yeah, I think it took me 15 or 20 minutes to get in here to the studio.
Yeah, you had some issues with that today.
Because I was just stuck on the exit, you know, at the exit, which I was like, I'm almost there, and I'm not moving.
It's frustrating. Also just, it is frustrating. And it's just like general impatience. So, like, obviously with the traffic thing, but with, say, like, technology, computer issues really get under my skin really fast. And, like, I do a lot of recording of music, and that's all based on technology and your computer working right. And, or even something as simple as a printer and just trying to, you know, get music printed for Sunday. I'm worship leader at the church that we work at. And a lot of things that you do, Christy, to get ready for your sermon, I mean, you're using technology a lot in our phones, and we expect kind of instant things to work perfectly all the time.
Oh, the worst thing is when tech isn't working during the worship service.
There you go. Yeah.
One message I remember, we were using a short documentary film, which is only like 5 or 6 minutes long. It was a great, great story. And we had the image, we had the video, but no audio, and could not get the audio up. And it's just so horrible when that happens. And I just jumped in and narrated.
You got to do something.
Yeah.
You got to save the moment.
That's rough. It sounds like, though, the things you've mentioned are, you know, things that can be beyond our control. And it is tough when you want to make something work, but
that's usually
there's nothing
the case
you can do.
Well, another thing I'll mention is, like, you know, that I have a lot of back pain, and I'm always dealing with that, but that's frustrating. Any kind of pain, whether it's physical or emotional or mental, like that. But I guess I'm just talking about the physical part of back pain can produce anger.
Absolutely.
Sometimes it can be hard to get to sleep sometimes, and that's frustrating. And then, you know, forget about falling asleep when you're frustrated. That ain't going to happen.
Right.
So that occasionally happens.
Right.
So what are some things that make you angry, Christy? You mentioned the technology thing.
Technology. I think situations that arise that I feel something's happened that's unfair really tends to make me angry. If I feel like that I'm somehow not being treated well and there's something that's unjust, it really, really makes me angry.
Sure.
Or feeling unappreciated. I get angry, too, a lot, I think, when I'm tired and something's not working. I know I have a certain dog, and you can probably guess, as you know my dogs well, which one it is. That if I get upset or angry at a dog and yell at it, it's usually this one, because he, which now I just gave it away. But
I wasn't sure which one you were talking about.
Really, because he's just always wanting something, you know, and whines.
Yes, your dog Benjamin is a whiny boy.
He's such a whiner. And it's like, it got me up early this morning, and it's like, oh my gosh, it's like, I don't. And then I feel bad because I think he may not be feeling good. But sometimes it's simply that, well, he wants to snuggle on the bed, but there's a particular place he wants to be, and there's plenty of room, but it has to involve me moving over. So I usually get upset with him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think like pets, dogs are like children at times. Mm-hmm. I think people that own pets or have kids, like they know all
Absolutely.
About frustration
you
and
get
anger.
Frustrated and you're tired and they're on your last nerve.
I had a lab growing up. I used to get so frustrated because when I would have to walk her, and it was kind of my first experience walking a dog. I was a teenager, and she would, she was sort of in those training stages, and she'd pull really hard on the leash, and she wouldn't heel, and mm-hmm. she'd misbehave a bit walking her, and I got really angry at times, like mm-hmm. as a teenager. So
yeah. I also can get really upset, like if I feel like I'm not getting good customer service somewhere, if I've been having to call somebody, like dealing with AT&T or Comcast or certain companies, to me is like being in the third ring of hell sometimes. It's just
that bad.
Yeah, I'd had something that happened with Verizon that in fact has made me say, I've been looking at other carriers. So I've been so unhappy with them. But I had way back had gone to Scotland and had international calling put on. And then I'd requested many times for it to be taken off and thought that it was. But then it got re-added. And, I wasn't paying attention, thinking that, that was just an overage or something in the charge. And no, I still had international calling. And, it took so many times to communicate. And, I had to call finally to speak to a person, and they told me they were going to be calling back. They do that thing where you're on hold forever, and they're like, but you can request a call back. And I did that, but every time they called back, it got cut off. Got cut off, and
that's
I'm
the
like
worst.
these are the people in charge of our communications. I'm getting mad just thinking about it.
I can see,
it's like, and I tell them, I'm like, you're supposed to be a communication super power. You're
superhero.
This is not okay.
Yeah.
And, And
did you stick your head out a window? And
I wish if somebody had encouraged me to do that at that moment, I probably absolutely would have. I'm sure that there were certain people in the building who knew I wasn't happy with somebody. So, yeah.
Well, we're going to get into more discussion of the emotion of anger, but do you want to go to a song?
Yeah.
Before we do that?
Yeah. So, what do you got up for us first?
I found a good James Taylor song.
Yeah.
Called The Angry Blues, and it's a great, it's a lovely song. I mean, it's not an angry sounding song, but it is about anger.
Because I don't think James Taylor can sound angry.
I think you're right. Yes, yeah.
So maybe it's good because it can kind of bring your anger down a notch.
Yeah, I think so.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can't help it if I don't feel so good. Said I can't help it if I don't feel so good. If I had my way, I'd be sitting on top of the world. But I can't help it if I don't feel so good. When the anger comes in and there's no place for a man to hide. When the anger comes in and there's no place for a man to hide. Would it do anything? Sit back here, I'm gonna watch this cloud roll by. The next time that you see me, I should be shining like the 4th of July. details. Won't you just give me a clue? If I don't feel so good, no, I can't help it if I don't feel so good. If I had my way, I'd be sitting on top of the world. I can't help it if I don't feel so good.
That was Angry Blues by James Taylor. Kind of a therapeutic song, I'd
yeah,
say.
Yeah, it is. And I think the thing that maybe inspired us in this direction was a Bible verse that really had stuck out in my mind several weeks ago. But it's from Ephesians 4:26, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. But it was particularly that first part about be angry but sin not. That has kind of been with me for a while to think about anger, because, you know, to me, anger isn't necessarily bad.
Sure.
Because that was one of our questions to each other in researching this and talking about it was, you know, is anger good or bad? And some people do treat it as if it's bad. But why do you think it could be good? And why would God tell us to be angry but sin not?
I think it gets us to act. It gets us to move in some direction. I thought of like a little analogy for anger. So like, it's kind of like fuel for a car. So say like your problem is like a hill and you're trying to get through it. You get angry about something. It fuels you to move and it's either going to get you up the hill or it's going to send you off the side of the cliff.
Oh, absolutely.
Which
yeah.
I guess would be rage or
yeah,
kind of untethered anger. But yeah, it motivates us to do something, to change.
Yes.
So it's good in that sense.
It can be very, very good. And there's some things that we should be angry about. You know, there are injustices in the world that should make us angry. And if we don't, there's probably something very wrong with us. And I think some of the great movements in the world that we have seen that have done great things have, you know, probably been motivated, you know, out of anger at injustice. I mean, think about the civil rights movement or the women's rights movement, really any kind of human rights movement. You know, there's been something that moves people in anger and in sadness. And then I think about things like Mothers Against Drunk Drivers, or, you know, there could be horrible tragedies that also, you know, move people to make a difference in the world. And also, you know, certainly God gets angry in Scripture and Jesus gets angry in Scripture. And, you know, he is God in the flesh.
Jesus got angry?
Jesus got angry.
I don't believe it.
But he did.
I know
he did. He even picks up a whip at one point. Do you remember? So do you remember some of the stories in Scripture?
Or moments
in his life where he got angry?
When I think of angry Jesus, I immediately think of when he's flipping tables in the temple.
Yeah.
It's a good
the money changers.
Mental image.
Mm-hmm. And he said, that they had made his father's house a den of thieves, like robbers.
Yeah.
And so that Jesus was angry at people who came between the people and God and who took advantage of people and hurt them.
Right.
And we should, too. We were playing clips of Lewis Black for me earlier, where he went on a rant against greedy people.
Yes.
And I thought, you know, I think God agrees that, you know, that is not right. I mean, the prophets, if you read the prophetic books, it's God speaking through people about how angry he is at how his poor people are being treated in the world. So
Lewis Black is a great man.
Who knew that the prophetic voice of Lewis Black
turns anger into pure
art.
Art. I was going to say comedy gold.
Yes.
But
comedy gold that is art.
Shtick.
And I had urged you to watch a certain film that he has a role in, and it was like a perfect casting.
Inside Out.
Inside Out, yeah. He plays anger. If you've never watched the
So good.
The movie, Pixar movie Inside Out, it's amazing about emotions, and that anger is just one of our God-given emotions. Like many things in life, if it's not used in the right way, I think it could be harmful. And that's why that Ephesians passage also encourages us not to let the sun go down on our wrath in our relationships that are important, just to remember that anger can be destructive sometimes. But
absolutely.
You know, but it does also motivate us to do the right thing, or to know that something just isn't right. We should pay attention to our anger.
Yeah. And it's a very basic part of our brain. It's like it's part of the most undeveloped reptilian part of our brain, amygdala.
Mm-hmm.
And it literally keeps us alive. I mean, it detects threats in our environment,
right,
and it regulates fear. It helps us remember things that we've been afraid of, and it's responsible for the whole fight or flight response.
Right. And that's, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Scripture also says, you know, that God crafted our brains. But the wonderful thing about the human brain is we have more than just the amygdala. You know, we have a higher brain. We have a neocortex. Unfortunately, a lot of times, you know, we stay stuck in the amygdala, and we don't realize that, okay, there is, how do I think about this situation from my neocortex, which is our reasoning brain? And I think if we take some time with what our feelings are, what makes me feel angry about something, when I'm really angry at the woman at Verizon, one, I try to stop and go, she's also not the CEO of this company,
right.
You know, that she didn't make these rules. She's just working a little cubicle, trying to,
right,
you know, keep her corporate overlords happy with her. But I get upset because I feel like I'm not being valued.
Sure.
I feel like I'm being cheated. I feel like, you know, and those are important feelings, but I don't have to choose to be angry at her. And I can use my neocortex to explain why I think the situation is bad and wrong, and
right,
try to see what kind of resolution I can get. And if I don't get one, you know, it's like I can go to Sprint or, you know, AT&T or
sure,
and make some changes there. That's just one example of
I think brain function. I think you're onto something there. Like, we need to know how to use our anger,
mm-hmm,
and because some people are like, they get too angry and you can tell they have an anger problem, and then that's where they need anger management and all that. But
yes.
But some of us have the opposite problem where we just hold it in.
Right.
And then we don't make known like the things we can't really need or want changed because we don't want to come off as too harsh or whatever.
Absolutely.
And then, you know, we don't get what we want, and then we suppress it.
And what happens, that turns inward, and I think that anger turns inward, you know, if it doesn't have the proper channel and release, then it can become very harmful to our bodies. And as I told you the other night, I grind my teeth, and I know, I think that's about anger and tension,
yeah,
and
gosh,
the clenched jaw.
I can't be good for you. I don't think I've ever done that.
It's very, very bad, and I have multiple mouth guards and teeth guards and things that the dentist has crafted that she tells me every visit that I need to be wearing because I'm going to destroy all my teeth.
Oh my Lord.
So it's, yeah.
I just
hate them, but I've paid big bucks for them. I really should use them. But that's what, and I think some people end up with ulcers, you know, and, or heart attacks, other, you know, I mean, they're just the ways that we wear our body down, or we can become passive aggressive, you know, so
right,
you see that in people not being able to articulate or respond to the anger well or timely, and it comes out in other ways.
It comes out somehow.
It does come out some way.
Which shows you that everybody
gets
has it.
Because everybody has that, you know, ancient form of the brain, that oldest, most primitive brain.
And I was looking more into just psychology stuff, and there's, you know, some people are better with tolerating frustration than others. And it kind of lists these things in this one article. This is from the National Forum Journal of Counseling and Addiction, and things that reduce our frustration tolerance include anxiety and stress, pain, physical and emotional, drugs and alcohol, and then also just daily irritations like traffic or talking to Verizon, things like that, can lower our ability to like deal with frustration. And I think we can manage a lot of those things.
Yeah, I think we can too. And I think also, you know, having somebody that you can really talk to about feelings, be it sometimes it's a therapist, it's a pastor, you know, it can be your spouse, a good friend, a parent, you know, but sharing that, the youth we work with on Wednesday nights often have a lot of anger in their life and a lot of frustration and sadness. All teenagers do.
Yeah, definitely.
And we try to be a resource, you know, for them about how can you make good choices, you know, about how you respond with your feelings in appropriate ways. But never, we don't want to discount that if they're being treated poorly or if there is some injustice in their life, those are valid feelings. And we want to listen to them and know that, you know, we feel along with them that certain things aren't right. So anger's an important thing in our life, and God gave it to us for a reason. You know, so if you're feeling mad about something, you know, I'd get curious about that. Find out what it's about. As a pastor, I feel it sometimes myself. I experience people that get angry about something, and often I have to remind myself that it may not always be the first presenting thing that they're talking about, that there could be more underneath. But you got to get curious about that thing that's making you angry. So,
and my mom's is a psychotherapist, and I was talking to her last night about this, and I wish she could be on the show because she's kind of just a wealth of information.
We're gonna find a way to have her call in sometime. And
yeah, we should do that.
Yeah,
get this phone set up here. But she was saying that anger a lot of times is a secondary emotion, meaning there's something that precedes it, like frustration or being scared. That's usually happens first, and then like the anger comes in. I never really thought about that, though.
I think that's right, because I think underneath it is usually some kind of frustration or pain, sadness. So again, getting digging as what more is there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well.
Jinx. I think it's that time.
It is. Dang.
I wish we could play some Tori Amos.
Yeah, I'm really sad. We had a great Tori Amos song that was about anger. And in the course of doing this show, we realized that we have a lot more anger to manage.
Still angry.
We're still angry. Still mad as heck.
It's all get out.
As all get out. I'm not going to take it anymore. So I think that we have more to say on this topic. So I think we're going to do a follow-up next week and particularly maybe get into ways that anger can also be transformed. And so we hope that you will tune in, be thinking a little bit on this topic and doing some digging into your own life and your experience with anger. But I hope that you might choose to join us. If you're looking for a place to worship this morning, come on over to Bellevue Presbyterian at 10:30. The Super Bowl Sunday, come and get some worship in before the big game. You'll hear us have a mention or two, I'm sure, of the game. Go Eagles. So please come and join us. Where else can they find Uprising, David?
Visit us on our website at www.nashvilleuprising.com. And you can also check out past episodes of Uprising on iTunes or in your podcast. Just search for Bellevue Uprising and it should pop up.
So have a super Sunday.
Go Eagles.
Go Eagles.
Peace out.
Peace out.